Have you ever heard the term, you do you? Anyone heard that term? Well, it's a phrase used largely by millennials and Gen Zers, basically anyone under the age of kind of 42. And it's a common phrase, you do you, so much so that even the Cambridge Dictionary has decided to adopt it as a phrase. And what does it mean? It means do what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want, with who you want. You do you, I do me. And it is the voice of fierce independence. And it leaves little room for direction or a discretion of the right or wrong way to live, because it basically says, well, anything goes. I'm doing me. You do you. I told her, you do you and I'll do me. Did you do you? Is it all right if I just do me? It fiercely calls out, don't tell me what to do. You do you. Now, this slogan stands in complete opposition to the title of the message today, which is, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And against this backdrop of don't tell me what to do is a voice, is a beautiful voice. And it's a voice which whispers gently and quietly, beckoning and calling you and me to lay aside the numerous voices of this current age and be still just long enough to recognize the voice of our true Master Jesus, who in John 10, he calls himself the Good Shepherd, and he cries out, listen to me, follow me. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to John 10, and we're going to read that passage in a few moments. The Good Shepherd is so needed in the world that we live in. Does anyone agree with that tonight? The Good Shepherd is so needed in this world. I mean, we live in a world that you will know is littered with danger, littered with dead ends, littered with trap doors. We live in a world which, due to human disobedience, means that we are in a brokenness, where things don't quite work. People don't always behave like you expect them to behave. People don't always do what you expect them to do. The brokenness of the world is caused by human disobedience. And we also live in a world where strangers, thieves, and wolves, as John 10 is going to show us, are waiting on the sidelines, desiring to devour, scatter, and destroy the sheep. So praise God for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who is there to protect, guide, and keep the sheep safe. And you and I, what are we? Well, we are the sheep. Now, some of you might immediately react against that, especially some of the you-do-you-ers out there, maybe watching online, not in the sanctuary. But you might react against that. I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be a shepherd. I don't need a shepherd. I can guide myself. I've been doing a pretty good job so far. But before you run away with such thoughts, let's listen to the voice of Jesus for just one moment. John 10, verse 11. It reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And then the man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Here he's referring to the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So here we have it himself, Jesus himself, reminding us in this room here and online that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is ready to lay down his life for his sheep for you and for me. And Jesus is not like the hired hand who is basically just in it for a wage, who's ready to leg it and abandon the sheep as soon as the wolves come. Jesus is not like that. He says he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Jesus, he says, is going to stand and he's going to fight for every single sheep, no matter how bloody the battle, no matter how many wolves surround him. Jesus promises to fight your battles to the very end. Jesus is a proper shepherd. He knows each of his sheep by name, and his sheep, they know him. And we know that the picture of the Good Shepherd is a picture that God wants etched in each of our hearts. He wants us to remember this. He wants this picture imprinted on our hearts, that he is the Good Shepherd. And how do we know this? Well, we know this because throughout the entirety of Scripture, we see completely how much the God being the shepherd comes up again and again. It's a metaphor that runs throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis, in Psalms, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, the metaphor is repeated again and again. Like, the Lord wants us to really get this, that he is the true shepherd in the Old Testament. And he says that Israel are his sheep. Psalms 100 verse 3 puts it like this. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And many of you will be very familiar with Psalm 23, especially those of you who may have recited this during tough times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And it's the same in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and both the Jews and the Gentiles are his sheep. And in Hebrews, we get told that Jesus is the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter, we get told that Jesus is the chief shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And then in Matthew 18, verse 11, very importantly, we get to an insight into the heart of the shepherd. It says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek out the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. And so tonight, God wants you to know right here, right now, that you are his sheep. You're his prized possession. Just think about it. As we read there, every single sheep matters. Jesus will leave the 99 to go and hunt and search out the one who has gone astray, who's gone rogue. He cares about you individually. He knows all about you. There's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the love of Jesus. Nothing at all. The lies of the enemy need to be stilled. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He cares about every single thing in your life. He wants you to know that you're his prized possession, that he will do everything he can to find you if you get lost. He'll do everything he can to recover you if you go the wrong way. And he'll do everything he can to put you back on the right path. Jesus is your good shepherd. You know, I thank God that over 20 years ago, the good shepherd, he found me. You know, I believe that he'd been looking for me for many years, many, many years. But I was far from the Lord. I was far from him. I didn't know who he was. I do know of what I learned about at school. I know that I love to sing hymns. I love to read the scriptures and say the Our Father prayer. That was fun and that was good. But that was probably as much as I understood about who he was. At the age of 14, I loved to sing gospel songs. Now, I just was drawn to them. I used to love singing gospel songs. And it was like, I couldn't quite explain it, but there was a specific drawing to gospel songs. Amazing Grace, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. These songs, I used to sing them over and over and over again. And I just thought that gospel was a genre of music. I had no idea that the gospel was life itself. But at the age of 19, as one of two students from my course, I got sent to California for a year abroad, and God truly ordered my steps in this place. In fact, he made me live with a whole bunch of Christians. That was my student accommodation. I found out that most of the people there were Christian. And so what we would do, sometimes we would go to Bible study, sometimes we would read the Bible together, and I was quite intrigued to see all these young people who were so interested in the Bible, because for me it was quite unusual, quite strange. From where I was coming from, you would never get out the Bible with a bunch of teenagers and sit there and, you know, annotate it. But for my friends, it was perfectly normal, and so I followed them to church, and I remember hearing the gospel message for the first time at that church. And I literally, at that moment, decided in my heart, resolved in my heart forever, to make Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. Jesus found me. He found me. And I thank God for the Good Shepherd, because I have to say that since he found me, I've never had so much peace, so much joy, so much love and security, knowing that I'm safe in his hands. And it's the same for you here. Many of you, you know the Lord. He's rescued you. He's set you free. He's taken you out of all sorts of situations. And you know him. And that's why many of you are here. He knows you. You know him. And you want to know him more. But one of the things about us being Christian and being Christian for a long time is that sometimes we can kind of cruise. We can kind of just say, well, you know, I'm part of the flock now. Jesus is my good shepherd. It's all well and good. I'm enjoying myself. This is great. But as the Lord reminds us today, he wants us to know very clearly that where are you going on your walk? Yeah? Where are you going on your walk? How is your walk going with the good shepherd? And how, and very importantly, is your hearing of the voice of the good shepherd going? How's it going? Is it good? Any reactions? Thumbs up? Is your hearing going good, or is it not going so well? Give me some thumbs. Give me some mid-thumbs. Okay, we've got some good thumbs up and some who are not so sure. Well, the fact is, you know, as a Christian and walking with the Lord for a while, and even some of you who are quite new to the Lord, we can get very complacent with our walk. We can just expect to be like, well, I'm part of the fold. I'm part of the sheepfold, so I'm good. Is anyone a member of a gym here? Anyone go to the gym? Anyone a member of the gym, should I say? Okay. Well, I'm a member of Pure Gym. And unfortunately, I don't get to go to Pure Gym as much as I should. Now, it's probably my own fault, if I'm honest with you. I put it in my calendar. I say I'm going to go to the gym on this day and that day. And then I just don't necessarily end up there. And I was thinking about it the other day. I have been on this gym membership for years, but in actual fact, I don't really think that I'm an expert at what it means to go to the gym. I know how to use some of the machines. Some of the other machines, I have no idea about how they work. And so I am not necessarily getting the full benefits, the optimum health and fitness that I should be getting as somebody who is a member of Pure Gym. But it's not necessarily Pure Gym's fault. It's more about the type of gym membership or the type of gym member that I am. It's about how I choose to walk. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. The type of sheep that you choose to be and you choose to do and you choose to be, sorry, determines whether you get to walk in the full blessing and benefit of having a good shepherd to guide you. As with any membership, you need to understand and you need to accept the terms. Yeah, no one can force you to do that. You need to have a genuine passion and a desire to learn. Otherwise, just like me, you don't get as fit as you should be and you miss out. And so I thought, you know what? Let's look at a video now of some real sheep and how they are towards their shepherd. So if we can, just cue that video for a moment behind me. These are some real sheep. Beautiful. Did you see how obedient those sheep were to the shepherd's voice? Did you see how quickly some of those sheep came running to the shepherd? How fast they were? Did you notice that there was a bit of a pause at the beginning when they were probably identifying whether it was the shepherd? And then they recognized it was him, and so they came. And did you recognize that some of the sheep were still at the back, but they still came as well? It's lovely to see that video. And it makes me think, you know, are we like that sheep in the video, or are we a bit hit and miss? On Monday, are we like, I'm a perfect, good, and pleasant sheep. But on Saturday, I am a rogue sheep. And I go and hang out with the wolves. Or maybe on Friday, I'm a nice, clean sheep again, and I get in line with all the other sheep. Or maybe on Tuesday, I block out the shepherd's voice because I'm too busy doing my you do you time. What type of shepherd are you? Sorry, it's my... You're making me laugh now. But it made me think, you know, they come so quickly. Those sheep come so quickly. They don't hesitate. They hear the shepherd's voice, and they are straight in there. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. God has a clear voice. And some of you here, you might have had the benefit or the pleasure of hearing the audible voice of God at times in your life. Some of you here may have had the voice of God drop into your heart, drop into your spirit. And it's not necessarily been audible, but you've heard the voice of God. Sometimes, you know, we're not able to immediately decipher the voice of God. I think about the prophet Samuel, as we read about. He is basically a child, and he's living with his guardian, Eli. And he keeps hearing the voice of God calling him. And he gets confused because he thinks it's Eli, his guardian, calling him. And the first time, he runs to Eli and he says, "Is it you talking?" Second time, the same thing. And then on the third time, Eli says to him, "No, just wait for a minute and respond." And then Samuel says, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." And then we've got the same thing with Moses, with King David, with Solomon, with Daniel, with the prophets. They all get to hear God, but in different ways. And it's the same with us here. You know, the Lord is always speaking, and we all get to hear him in different ways. I know some of you here, you might be very prophetic. You might be able to hear the Lord as he speaks to you in dreams. Maybe some of you see visions. Maybe some of you actually get words of knowledge from people that you don't even know who come up to you, and they say something, and you're like, wow, that's come straight from the mouth of God. The Lord can speak to us in so many different ways. Even in the book of Acts, I was thinking the disciples, they decided to wait in Jerusalem for the promise because Jesus told them to. They understood and they heard the voice of God. Wherever you are in your hearing, remember, there's not one size fits all. You know, I hear the Lord in many different ways. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that I can grow in hearing the voice of God. The way I used to hear him before and how I hear him now is very different. But one of the things I did in hearing is that I began to just have times where I would go in silence and I would listen and try and hear the Lord speak or hear the Lord put an impression on my heart. At other times, you know, I haven't always had that time and I've been really busy and I've released prayers where I've said, Lord, will you answer me on this? Will you answer me on that? And, you know, just like in the video, you know, when they heard the shepherd's voice, there was a bit of a pause. And sometimes it can be like that when you're praying, when you're asking God, when you're trying to hear the voice of God. He might not necessarily speak directly at the second that you want him to speak, but he will speak. You know, I remember at one point I was just wandering through the living room and I just heard the voice very sharp. It was like, Corin, sit down. And I was like, ooh, Corin, sit down. And the Lord sat me down. I said, all right, Lord. That was clear. There's no one else in the house. I sat down and I listened to the Lord. And he gave me some directions. He showed me some things that were stressing me out. And he said, no, this is how you're going to deal with it. And I said, thank you, Lord. And he was completely right. You know, as a parent, also, I get to make lots of decisions, have to make lots of decisions on behalf of my children. And at one point, I was wanting to move my children from their school. And I prayed, I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. I kept saying, Lord, give me an answer. Give me a clear answer. I need to know. I need to hear the voice of God on this. And there was no answer for a long, long, long time. And then one time, I was just literally walking from one room to another. And the Lord said, leave them where they are. Simple, leave them where they are. And I thank God that I heeded the voice of the Lord because I obeyed and actually it was a perfect decision. The Lord will speak to you. He will talk to you and it might not always look like how you want him to talk to you. And even for some of you here, you might say, well, I never hear the voice of the Lord. I never hear the voice of the Lord. Don't come in agreement with that because the Lord does speak and there's going to be a time where you get to learn and decipher that is the voice of the Lord speaking. And on top of that, for all of us tonight, whether you are hearing the voice of the Lord or not, or you are, remember we have the Bible. 66 books of guidance, of examples, of instructions about how we as sheep can live in a way that is pleasing to our good shepherd. So I thought, you know what, let's look at some characteristics and behaviours of sheep that can help us hear the voice of God and hear the voice of our good shepherd more clearly. And I thought what I would do is I'd ask us all some questions. You don't need to answer these out loud, but in your heart, maybe just resolve to answer it before God. But question number one, are you dependent or are you independent of God? Are you dependent or are you independent of God? You know, if you look at the sheep, they were very dependent, and they are very dependent on their shepherd for protection and for guidance. They can't find water or food on their own. And sheep have very discerning ears, and they have very obedient hearts, as we saw there. They instinctively trusted the voice of their shepherd, and they came really close around him. And when they hear the voice that they recognize, they respond in trust. And they love to be around their shepherd because as we saw there, their shepherd is a place who provides safety, security, and provision. Now, I'm sure many of you here would say, yeah, I'm a great sheep. I'm like a perfect sheep. I'm very dependent on the voice of God. But again, let's ask a few more questions. You know, it's always good to ask questions because questions actually increase our learning than just us necessarily listening. But the question I'd ask you as well is, when is the last time you sought God for a decision that you needed to make and then you actually waited for him to deliver an answer? When was the last time that happened? Are you dependent on your own terms? Or when was the last time you listened to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you turned and you repented for a behavior that you know God had told you that he wants you to stop or change? When was the last time? Are you dependent or are you independent of God? Do you only seek out God when things are working out? When you're good and everything's going smooth, then you seek out God. Sorry, are you good when things are not working out? Are you only seeking God when things are not working out? That's the question. Is it only when things are not working out that you come running after the Lord and you're like, Lord, this is not going well. But when things are going well, you forget the Lord completely. And so I thought, you know what, let's give everyone a challenge this week, because it's good for us to hear the word, it's good for us to learn the word, but it's also good for us to apply the word. And so the challenge I thought would be really useful for us is to identify and correct an area of your life where you are currently behaving independently of God. Is that an area that everyone could think of? Anyone could think of an area where they're behaving independently of God? Amen. And so this week, make a choice, make a decision to actually say, Lord, I'm going to invite you in. As my good shepherd, I'm going to invite you into this decision that I want to make because I know that it's the right way. And then number two, question for us all. Are you a follower or are you a bit of a rebel? Are you a follower or are you a bit of a rebel in terms of your characteristics? You know, if you look at sheep, they actually have no sense of direction, very little sense of direction. They usually just follow whoever's leading them. Now, this can be a really good thing if they're following the voice of the good shepherd. But woe to those sheep who follow the wrong guidance. I was reading a story the other day about some sheep who were based in eastern Turkey. Now, one morning, the shepherds decided to go and eat breakfast far away from the flock, and they left the 1,500 sheep unattended on a mountain. And so it happened that as they were wandering around on the cliff, one of the sheep at the front of the flock fell off the cliff and fell to its death. Now, instead of the other sheep stopping because of this terrible accident, can you imagine what they did next? They all followed the other sheep off the cliff. The sheep in the back, they couldn't see past the sheep in the front. And then the sheep in the front couldn't stop because the sheep in the back were pushing them. And in the end, 400 of those sheep died. And then the remaining 1,100 fell on top of the other sheep. It's an awful story. It's terrible. You might think, wow, how daft. How dumb are those sheep? How could they have just followed off like that? How did that happen? But if I think about it, the shepherds were really far away. The shepherds were nowhere to be seen, and so they had no clear guidance, and they had no clear direction. Is the good shepherd far away from you? Or are you staying close enough to continually hear his voice? As human sheep, I think we all agree that there are many voices out there which can just overcome us and crowd out and distort the voice of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 puts it this way. It says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Psalm 55:3 talks of the voice of the enemy. And we know from personal experience, I'm sure here, that the voice of the enemy can be very loud and very brash. It can be very oppressive and stifling as it seeks to gain control and influence. I'm sure many of you here, because the Bible says it, have heard of the term wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. Basically meaning someone or something can look harmless, but it's actually disguised. It looks like it's a sheep. It looks like it's something good. But when you look a bit closer, it's actually a wolf, and it actually wants to do you some damage. And in our society, you and I, we could sit here and we could think of many, many, many things which are wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. And I'm sure you can name loads of them. For me, I think immediately of the media. I think of entertainment. I think of education. And I think of social media. Now, these things are not bad of themselves. In fact, a lot of good comes from these things. But let's take social media, for example. Now, social media is there, and the actual aspirations of social media was to connect people, was to share knowledge. These aren't bad things. But how is social media configured? It's configured in such a way as to hook your attention. It completely hooks your attention. It uses algorithms and patterns and personalized advertising to make your appetite grow. And so you become more and more dependent on it. I don't know how you are, but sometimes you can be on your phone for hours, not even realizing. Maybe you go on your phone and you're only supposed to be on there for like 5 minutes. But before you know it, you've been on there for an hour. That's the design of the social media. That's the design. Whichever one you go to, that's how it's made. And then in doing that, often we completely lose sense of the good voice of the good shepherd. We can't hear it because there's so much distraction. You know, I know if I asked any of you to open up your social media feeds right now, you could guarantee to show me hundreds of stories with hundreds of posts from hundreds of different people. But I ask us the question tonight, how many voices can you realistically follow? How many posts can you read before you become directionless? There are so many things out there to crowd out the noise, the voice of God. So many things that crowd out the voice of God. And when I think about them, I think many of them seem very fine. You know, our career can crowd out the voice of God. Our relationships, our friendships, they can crowd out the voice of God. Our entertainment and our leisure time can completely crowd out the voice of God, especially when we become addicted or obsessed with something and it becomes something that we need to do all the time. Instantly, we crowd out the voice of God. Ephesians 4:14 says that we shouldn't be children any longer, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Basically, this scripture is warning us as believers that we need to grow up in Christ. We need to grow up and we need to be discerning enough to spot where there's cunningness, where there's trickery, and where there's deceit and how it's infiltrating our lives and our hearts. We need to choose, especially in these days where there's an intensifying, there's a speeding up, there's an increase of the things that are being released into the earth in terms of temptations. We need to be more careful than ever that we don't get swept out or swept away into the enemy's plans. We don't get tricked by those things which seem good but are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. And so challenge number two this week, I want you to analyze who you are following. Who are you following? Who are you following in terms of your social media feeds? Who are you following in terms of who you're watching? Who are you following in terms of who you are hanging out with? And from that, I want you to minimize or eradicate the voices that are leading you away from the Good Shepherd. So first, identify who you're following, and then secondly, begin to minimize those voices that you know are taking you far away from the Good Shepherd. Can I invite the keys back up to the platform? So the best sheep we can be are those who are dependent. That's the best type of sheep we can be, those who are dependent. The best type of sheep we can be are those who choose to follow the voice of God. Just like we saw in that video, the best sheep we can be are those who are obedient, who come quickly when we hear our voice call, whether we hear the voice of God calling us. And I have to mention that hearing and listening are two completely different things. You know, some of those sheep, they could have heard the shepherd call and they might not necessarily have come forward to be near the shepherd. They might have chosen just to do their own thing. So we can hear the voice of God, but we must listen and obey and actually come forward when the voice of God speaks to us. Now, the good news for us all tonight is that we have a good shepherd. We truly have a good shepherd, and he's well aware of the state of our lives, the state of the world around us. And he's full of compassion for us. And he truly desires to help us in all our situations and in all our circumstances. Matthew 9:36 puts it this way. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And it's for this very reason that Jesus came and he laid down his life for the sheep, because he could see that we were completely lost, that we were headed for an eternity without our Father in heaven. because of the sheer weight of our wrongdoing. He could see that we needed help. He could see that we needed divine protection. He could see that we needed defending and that we needed guidance. And so Jesus himself, he chose to be that sacrificial lamb for our redemption. And he paid with blood, sweat, and tears. And in doing that, he made a way for all of us. Jesus, he laid down his life for you and me. And in knowing that, the least that we can do is fulfill what the Lord has called us to do and acknowledge what he did as he died and he rose again for us. The least we can do as sheep is to acknowledge Jesus. He died and he rose again to take us from the clutches of the enemy and to buy our freedom. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. I and my Father are one. And so tonight, in this atmosphere, in this environment of the presence of the living God, in this environment where the Spirit of the living God is hovering around us, seeking to commune with us, I just want to reach out to anyone here who says or believes that they are not a sheep, who would not necessarily identify with being a sheep of the flock, who would not necessarily identify that Jesus is their great shepherd.